I am so glad to be back. I do appreciate George. By the way, that was just providentially that George was preaching 2 weeks ago, because certainly he was going to be preaching even if I were well or not. So it just all worked out. And then, of course, Justin last week. Appreciate those guys standing up here and presenting just great portions of God's Word to us. But I am thankful to be here today. I'm thankful to be back. I'm thankful to be over that sickness. And so I do want to, before we get into our lesson today, tell you that we need to add some folks to your prayer list if you haven't already. Please remember Rhoda, Lee, Chandler, and Skylar Carpenter in your prayers. They have coronavirus and have been pretty sick. Rhoda did make mention that they may be doing a little bit better today. So please remember them, though, in your prayers. Also, BJ's grandfather, understand he has a clogged artery. And so we want to pray for BJ's grandfather. They're going to be doing some tests on him. And so I want to pray that that goes well. Then I also want to give you some good news today. You may have seen this familiar or these familiar faces recently. And today they want you to know they're back. They're back, and I'm so glad. Grady and Don Wilson, man, I've missed y'all. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Great friends. Great just soldiers of the cross. Grady and Don are over here if you want to just kind of raise your hands. I know you know Grady and Don, but welcome them officially back to Isaiah City, and they are hard workers. And so we are glad to have them. Love you guys. Glad you're here, and certainly glad you're with us and back with us. You know, as I was talking just a moment ago about coronavirus, you know, today our theme is victory. Hey, I beat it. I'm victorious. We've got some other victors in here today, and certainly glad about that. Certainly glad that we're able to be here today. I want you to know, though, that I beat it with no power. So I really feel like a victor today. As silly as that is, man, I'm going to tell you, you get the coronavirus, you want to have some power, I promise you. But as I get to thinking about that, and that's silly, and that's, you know, I just want to kind of acknowledge it and make everybody maybe have a smile today. It does remind me, though, that it is a virus that you lay around with sometimes. Now, I tried not to lay around, even though I sometimes did. But, you know, as Christians, we have a virus, too. It's a virus called sin. We read about it just a moment ago. I love Justin, what he read to us from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 through 58. You know where Paul there is called the resurrection chapter of the Bible, and Paul's talking about the gospel in that chapter, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about how we're going to change one day, that our mortal body in a moment, in the blinking, the twinkling of an eye, will change from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortality. And that's at Christ's return. If we're still alive, it's just that quick we'll change, which is again, Kent talked about how amazing the brain is. If God can create that amazing brain in all of us, think of what else He can do, right? And so God's going to do those things. But Paul gets down to the last few verses of that chapter. And it's a long chapter, 58 verses there. And so he talks about how sin and death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Victory. You see, and we talk about virus and coronavirus, and we talk about, and Justin, great prayer, man. We got to end this hate. But we talk about all the hate and strife that's going on in the world, and we talk about those things, and sometimes we can lose our focus. Our focus is down, right? On the front pew over there. But we lose our focus. Today, I don't want you to be distracted by negativity. Today, I don't want you to be distracted by coronavirus. Today, I don't want you to be distracted by hate and strife and hostility. Today, I believe God wants us to focus on death and sin being swallowed up in victory. Man, What can they do to us if I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? You see, that's the victory that set us free from sin. Sometimes, though, if we're honest with ourselves, we feel trapped. We feel stuck. We feel like we're in a rut. We're in a valley. We're in some type of mud that we can't get out of. What traps us in that sin? Well, lust is a sin that we get trapped in perhaps from time to time. Gossip is a sin that we feel trapped in from time to time. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's some other sin that gets us and we feel like I am trapped and I can't get out of this. We've heard a lot about social media and the social media struggle that's going on. Maybe it's an addiction to our phones. Maybe it's an addiction to whatever. We forget that Jesus Christ set us free. I love that picture of those hands. They were tied up right there, but now they're set free. Your heart was tied up. Our minds were tied up. Our will was tied up. But they've been set free. Either we believe that death and sin were swallowed up in victory, or that's all make-believe. Well, I'm here to tell you, it wasn't make-believe. It's as true as me standing here today. Jesus Christ set us free. Three times in the book of Romans, we hear about being set free from sin. I want you to go ahead and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, if you will, is such a powerful chapter. The book of Romans is a powerful book. But the scary thing is, we're not much different, America that is, than Rome at that time. If you study chapter 1, Paul there talks about, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." But then he goes on to talk about how those folks, the Romans, if you will, and others, even Christians at that time, they had been serving, they knew God as who He was, and they were aware of Him, but they were worshiping Him as the creature rather than the Creator. So you know what God did? He gave them over to debased minds. Minds that just could not come back, if you will, or not willing to come back. And God said, "Hey, if that's what they want to do, it hurts my heart, but I'm going to let them go." Well, then in chapter 3, we learn that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But then he gets to chapter 6, as we know it's chapter 6. It's kind of the middle of his letter, if you will. And he talks about some pretty powerful points. In verse 18 there, he says, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." In verse 22, he says, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." And then a couple pages over in chapter 8, verse 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." In chapter 6, Paul talks about there that we are buried with Christ in baptism. And if we were buried with Him in baptism, then we will be raised, just like Jesus was raised, to walk in newness of life. Today, if you are a baptized, faithful believer of Jesus Christ, then guess what? You are free from sin. Free from it. I love the way Kent talked about how if we're in that blood that covers the multitude of sins, then those sins are gone. We shouldn't be bogged down by it today. We shouldn't focus on the past. We shouldn't focus on death. We shouldn't focus on sin. We shouldn't focus on hell, because all that's gone. But sometimes we lose sight of that. We sometimes can't win the battle because we're not committed to fight in the war. You see, and that's a big deal. There's a war going on for your soul and my soul. And you look around us and we're saturated with it, right? It's overflowing in our lives. Hate and evil and murder and pain and suffering. And we're reminded every day that there's a war. There's a war going on. Now, let me tell you something. Satan's lost. He can't beat Jesus Christ. That battle's been fought and that battle's been won. Thanks be to God. But he's battling for us. Those in this room today, those watching at home, he's battling for us. But I'm here to tell you, we've been set free. Sometimes the attitude, the mentality is, I'll never win this addiction. I'll never kick this habit. I'll never beat this sin. God doesn't want you to say those words. God wants us to know that we can stand today victorious. Michelle had her Bible on this morning, and it's in Acts chapter 7 and 8. And as I was listening, as she was playing it as well, it reminded me of Stephen. That's where Stephen is talking to them, and really he's shucking the corn, if you will, to those Jews that, hey, you had the Messiah. You just put him on a tree. You killed him. Well, you remember in Acts chapter 8, and it's just such a powerful account. Of course, we're introduced to Saul there as he's consenting and approving of Stephen's death. But Stephen has made them so mad that they stop their ears and they're gnashing their teeth and they're running at him and they're going to kill this man. But you remember what he did before all that happened? He looked up in heaven and he didn't see Jesus sitting. He saw Jesus standing. Jesus was standing, and that standing has meant a lot of things to me over the years. On one occasion, maybe I think that Jesus is saying there, hey God, that's my servant Stephen being stoned to death. You say the words and I'll go get him. On another occasion, maybe I thought that Jesus is saying, hey Stephen, I'm here for you. I've got your back. But then on this occasion, I sit there and I think that Jesus has gone from sitting at the right hand of God to standing because he says, hey, Stephen, no matter what, we will be victorious. Whichever way you might look at it, and I think it's all encouragement, right? Please know that Jesus Christ is still standing for us today. He's standing in victory. He's standing because he went to battle with the devil and Jesus Christ won. And because Jesus Christ won, we are, as Paul said, set free, free. And today, we're victorious. There's some battles that we have to win to be able to win the war. There's some things we have to commit to. And today I want to give you three of them. And if you get these three things in your life right and a hold of and a grip of and you don't let go of them, then no matter what comes your way, hurricane, virus, the devil, hate, loss of job, bad health, fill in the blank, whatever comes your way, in the end, you will never have to sit down defeated again. You will always be the victor. The first thing I want us to think about today, as we remind ourselves that we are focused on victory because we're set free from sin, but in order to understand it, we've got to receive victory with our minds. We've got to get those powerful minds that Kent talked about around it. And we've got to allow ourselves to understand. Jesus said, you will know the truth. You will know the truth. And what? You can fill it in, right? What's it say? The truth will set you free. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. That wasn't Ben Franklin. That wasn't a George Washington. That wasn't some famous doctor, psychiatrist out there that said these magical words, folks. That's the Savior of the world who said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know what Jesus also said? Don't you love that scene with Thomas there? We've called him Doubting Thomas all these years, but really, he's just a human like you and me and needed to see some proof. Hey, man, now all these things going on, he couldn't get his mind around it. What do you mean Jesus is dead and he's buried and he just couldn't focus and he couldn't get... He said, unless I touch him and all this, I'm not... He allowed Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas to know the truth. Jesus said about himself, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, today if you doubt, and listen, there are all of us probably had doubts before, right? If you doubt, Jesus still wants you to know the truth, even if you've got to see it in these pages, even if you've got to feel it in your heart, but you've got to get your mind around it today. If we're going to walk around victorious, then we must know the truth. Romans 6, beginning in verse 1 now. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Some say, God forbid there. Some say, may it never be. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not, here it is now, know? Know, right? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6 again. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. You see, it's as simple as that. It's as simple as getting our minds around this. That when Terry Cagle made the journey up this aisle and confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, then made the journey out those doors, up that stairwell, changed those clothes, and went down in this water. Behind this wall is water. Once I went down in that water, and God contacted me with the blood of Jesus Christ, I was raised up out of that water, and now I am no longer a slave of sin. Now that doesn't mean I'm perfect, right? It doesn't mean you're perfect. Yes, there's a battle, there's a war going on. But when I get my mind around this today, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm free and victorious, then what can the world do to me? What can the devil do to me? What can sin do to me? Now, if I'm not careful and if I don't keep my mind around it, it can do a lot of things. It can do a lot of damage. But when I get my mind around the fact that I am a victor, and man, it takes a lot of stress off of life. You see, sin is like a bully. Sin is like a bully. What does a bully do? It manipulates us. If you don't give me your milk money, I'm going to beat you up. That's how sin is. That's how Satan is. What do you do to the bully? You stand up to the bully. Sin and bullies, again, they like to manipulate us. They like to deceive us. They like to trick us. They try to convince us in our mind that we can't win. But we should quit listening to the bully. We got to quit listening to the negative. We got to quit listening to whatever voice it is, the little thing on our shoulder, whatever we think it is. We got to quit listening to Satan, listening to self, listening to sin. And we got to start listening to the Savior. You see, that's what it boils down to. Romans 12, right? That's Romans 12. Paul said there, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why, when Paul wrote about the whole armor of God, did he talk about the helmet of salvation. Because our minds can lose focus that quick. Our minds feel unprotected. You know what we need to have on our minds all the time? Salvation. Heaven. If I get heaven on my mind at 43, how much better is it when I get to 83, if I get there? You see, if heaven's on my mind now, whatever age you are, then it's going to be so much easier when the devil throws something our way. When we get our minds around the fact that I'm not defeated, that I am a victor. And listen, bills are still going to be there. Disease is still going to be there because we live in this world, right? Tough times are still going to be there. But if my mind remembers that I'm washed in the blood, that I am a victor, then that is going to make life so much easier when I face those times. Number two, we've got to receive victory with our minds. Number two, we got to believe victory in our hearts. In verse 5 of Romans 6, again, I'm sorry, verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in our families, we have a name to live up to, right? Your surname is a name that was handed down by your family, or you married and changed your name if you are the female. And that happens, right? And we take on that name. Mine is obviously Cagle. And so I want to live up to a Cagle name that leaves a good impression. And I want my children to live up to that name that leaves a good impression. But guess what? My name was changed. When I was baptized into Christ and I walk in now newness of life, my name is now Christian. You see, and that means I represent Christ. And I represent the King. What does an ambassador to the King do? They represent that King's name. So everywhere I go, around everybody I come in contact with, whether I write it on social media or I say it at Walmart or I live it in my neighborhoods or whatever, I need to represent the King. I need to represent Jesus Christ. Right there in verse 11, the word reckon also could be consider or count. It is the Greek word logizomai. Logizomai. You know what that means? It means to count on or bank on. Basically, you can take that to the bank. So, if we are crucified with Christ, then guess what? According to that verse, you can bank on it. You're dead to sin and alive to Christ. Some might say, well, I don't feel like I'm dead to sin. Well, my question to you then is, do you believe it in your heart? Going back to the whole armor of God, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. What does that breastplate do? It wards, it protects the heart. Well, what do I need to surround my heart? Righteousness. Good things. You know, I had the coronavirus by now. I've told you that 1,000 times in here. I lost my taste. And that's rough for somebody that likes to eat. Okay? But at that time, you could have fed me vegetables. And I would have eaten them because I couldn't taste them. You know, when we can't taste, that means we become numb. We become used to it. It doesn't matter what it is, right? Sometimes the heart can be that way. If we're not careful and we don't protect that heart, then it can just become numb. That sin doesn't bother me. That movie, these things, they don't bother me. Well, see, that's when I got to examine my heart. Now, we know how important the heart is. We have chest pains, we go to the doctor, right? We get stress tests, we get heart casts, we get all these things to figure out, hey, if something's wrong with this thing, I'm in trouble. But what about that spiritual checkup? What about where we are right now? Do you really believe in your heart that you are victorious? You see, if I get my heart right physically, I feel pretty good about things. The doctor says, hey, you got a good heart, strong heart, heart of a young person. That doesn't mean we go out and smoke a bunch of cigarettes and drink a bunch of alcohol and do bad things for the heart, right? No, why? My heart's in good shape. I feel good. Well, spiritually, how does your heart feel today? If it's that important physically, how much more important is it spiritually? You got to believe today that you are victorious. You got to believe today that you're dead to sin, free from sin. And you got to allow your heart to be convinced of that. Then thirdly, this morning, I've got to renew my mind, right? I've got to receive victory in my mind. I've got to believe victory in my heart. Therefore, then, I've got to achieve victory by our will. When our minds are right, when our hearts are right, then we will act and do what is right. That will be our will. That'll be what we do. Romans 6, continuing now, verse 12. Therefore, now think about why we got to this therefore, right? You are dead to sin, buried with Christ, raised like Christ to walk in newness of life. You're now free. You can bank on it. Remember that word, bank on it. That you're dead to sin. You're alive. You got to receive that in your mind. You got to believe it in your heart. Now what? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. As Paul said in Romans 12, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, he didn't say leave some of it out. Everything I have in my body needs to be given to God. That's our will. You see, here's the beautiful thing about it. If I've surrendered my life and I receive in my mind I'm victorious, I believe in my heart I'm victorious, guess what now? God is now in control of you. And He's in control of me. That means, as the Bible reminds us, that He will direct our steps. He will light our path. And as we walk down that path of life, we don't have to worry anymore about, am I making good decisions? Am I doing the right thing? Our teenagers don't have to worry about, is this a good person for me to associate with? Is this a good person for me to date? Because our paths are being directed. Our paths are being lit up. Our will is now about pleasing God. But see what happens? Jason did a great job teaching our class this morning. Appreciate his wisdom. He's talking about where do we go? Where are we going when things don't go right? Where a lot of us go when we have problems is Google, right? Hey, I got to find out how to fix this or whatever. Question is, are we going to God? Are we going to God with our issues? Is He controlling our will, our lives, our hearts, our minds? Are we standing victorious? You see, because what happens is we go to Facebook or YouTube or screen time or whatever it may be, and that saturates us. And we spend hours every day. And if you don't think, look at your screen time. We spend hours every day focused on material, worldly, social things that really don't matter in the end. So we might allow likes on Facebook to direct our steps, or Instagram, or whatever, fill in the blank. we might allow the attitudes that we read about on Twitter to direct our steps. We might allow Channel 360 on, or whatever your news channel is, on your TV to direct our steps, right? We might allow that. But I'm here to tell you today, when you allow those things to direct your steps, your will, your life, then you walk around defeated. Maybe not every day, but some days. Because I can look around at the world and I can feel like a failure at times. But when I allow the Word of God, and I allow God Himself, His Spirit that dwells in me, to direct my steps, then I walk around victorious. Today, as we get ready to close, I want you to think about a couple things. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." We've got to receive it. We've got to believe it. We've got to achieve it. Anybody in here want to walk around defeated? Anybody in here want to walk around as a loser? No. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to have victory. Today, true victory is found in Jesus. Today, true victory is found by you and I submitting our lives, submitting our minds, submitting our hearts, submitting our will, our all to God through the waters of baptism. Today, if I'm not a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, please do not take this the wrong way, but according to the Scriptures, I'm a loser. Nobody wants to be a loser. Today, change it. Be immersed in the blood. Contact that precious blood, that victorious blood of Jesus. Or maybe I am here today and I've forgotten. I've allowed life, I've allowed earth, I've allowed world, I've allowed Satan, I've allowed sin, I've allowed whatever to take my mind, my heart, my will. Today, let's take it back. Let's take it back. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.